Blog Talk Radio. Hello, hello. This is Pretty Bird. I'm hoping that our illustrious Sweet Pea will be here any minute. I figured I would start the show for her so she has a show to hop onto. But, you know, sometimes life calls us sideways. So today, on Sweet Discussions, she's got this awesome idea. But before we get into that, let's say hello to Rack and Tour. Hello, hello.
Hey, late to her own funeral, huh?
Well, hopefully that's not what this is, but I'm sure she will get here as soon as she can. Like, who knows if there's storms and electrical things and all this stuff happening. So until I hear from her, I'm going to assume all is well. But today she had this awesome idea, and it is all anagrams. And being the word nerd that I am, I loved this. So for tonight's exercise, she had all these names of different poets, and we got to pick two of them, and we got to see how many words we can find in there and to make a word bank with. So whatever word bank we chose is made up of words that we found in the names of the two poets that I picked off of the list. Now, me being the word nerd that I am, I was sitting here and, you know, 324 words in, I was like, maybe I should just stop. Because I have
24 words long.
You know? And so I was just like, well, I'm a full-on nerdlet, and my OCD would have been like, I need to find them all, and I would have been here for like, you know, 16 hours coming up with like 3,000 words. So I got rid of that, but the poem that I wrote today, it's a little abstract because I used every single word that I used is an anagram for the poets that I choose, because, you know, more is more. So why not make it uber difficult? But I'm hoping that we get a lot of callers in and they had as much fun as I did. Did you have a lot of fun with Sweet's prompt?
Oh, I didn't even try it. It burned my brain. I like anagrams and words and everything, but I don't know. My head wasn't into it.
For shame, for shame.
I know. I wanted to be cute. I was going to throw out her choices, and I was going to use, like, you know, Pretty Bird and Deborah Lee or something like that. I was going to pick two AP poets and anagram them.
But guess who's here? Hey, sweet.
Hey, darling.
And yes, I figured I would step in because here you are. I was telling them all about your fabulous anagram show.
Well, hold on a second.
Anagram was Alexander Graham Bell's wife, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I can do this, right?
So. How's it hanging, girly?
Well, I actually called and asked Deb to postpone it till 9, but I guess that didn't happen.
You mean till 10? Because it starts at 9.
No, I meant postpone it till 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, but... And do open poetry because I have some other things going on. But, hey, since we're here, we might as well do it.
Oh. I mean, we can switch up to open. I'm good with it.
Yeah, we might as well do that.
So, anagrams next week?
Anagrams next week because I'm, like, so not ready and hanging out in Wyoming and doing my thing and just, you know.
I don't think there's much to do in Wyoming.
Yeah, there's a lot here to do. So any open poetry is wonderful.
I am announcing it on the board that there is open poetry tonight.
Good. Hey, Rack, talk for a minute. Pretty Bird, put you and I in the green room for a minute.
I can do that.
All right.
I can certainly talk, but I don't know if people are going to want to hear what I say because my mind is burned out. So the things that I say usually confuse the hell out of people. I guess I'll take advantage of the fact that I've got the microphone and mention that I know of two upcoming shows on this Sunday. Pretty Bird's got Under the Bus coming up, and you're going to be talking about that later, I'm sure. You're going to give everyone a chance to plug this stuff. But I just came up with something for my show on Tuesday. I'm going to talk about food combinations, just the weird things that people put in their mouths. you get me talking about food and you can't shut me up. So you might be sorry that you handed me the microphone because, you know, now that I'm going to start talking about what I'm going to be talking about on Tuesday, I can talk from now until Tuesday. Vaccinated with a phonograph needle. I wonder what our generation is going to do with that expression because, you know, they don't know what a phonograph needle is anymore, I don't think. Anyway, it kind of makes me think of your song from your opening because that is an older song. That makes me think of old LP records and things like that, which has nothing to do with food, and I threatened to talk about food, so I strayed off of that topic, too. Can you tell my mind is scattered? It's been a long day, or a short day. It depends. I don't know. In the scope of things, I guess the days are short because life is long or life is short. I don't know. That's an interesting viewpoint to tackle. Is life short or is life long?
And I am back, and Sweet Pea will be calling back in a little bit. Girlie's got a lot going on, busy. But I am here. You are here. We are going to be all open poetry, and I kind of love open poetry because you never know what you're going to get. It's a mixed bag of nuts because I can speak. So I am all excited. So anagrams next week, which means no cheating. You get a chance to write. You have a whole other week to come up with some words from your two poets. Even if you choose AP poets, you can still come up with the anagram. So that is awesome.
Now I have to break my brain trying to figure out what to bring tonight.
Well, it's open. You can bring anything or many things. Or
my last one is for you, so.
Is it? I haven't read anything. I have had my head in the sand like an ostrich. It's a sad state of affairs is what it is.
Unless you like
what? You know, ostrich meat is 98% fat-free and is pretty gosh darn tasty as burgers. Who knew? It's a red meat bird. Yeah.
Well, I don't know about tasty. It's actually kind of bland, I thought. That's the problem with it. People
tend to overcook
it. Well,
I think the problem is that there's no fat, so there's no extra flavor. But it's a very, for what it is, it's a very flavorful meat. I mean, you still need some salt and some goodies on there, you know. Otherwise, and even the best cut of beef is, you know, beefy, but not, you know.
Absolutely.
Okay, so let's see. Pick a number from 1 to 77.
Oh, you're going to do that to me, really? Three.
No, I'm going to – well, just, you said three? All right. Well, you're just going to pick my poem for me. And then 1 through 20, I think, is how many are on the stage.
1 through 20. Let's go with 9.
All right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Okay. Well, that one was a tribute, so we'll go with 10. Inkwell, what is this? It is very short, so I'll put this up on the board, and
I found one that I've already heard.
And we have Deborah Lee.
Awesome, awesome.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
Hey, so Sweet hopped on for a second. She might be back a little bit later. She's got a lot going on. And so she said, let's switch to open poetry for tonight. Is that all right with you? Because, you know, you are.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'll find something. I'll have to check on her now, too. Man, I need the cloud to get off of all of us. Just saying.
Just a little bit. It would be. I mean, I like rain, but, you know, enough is enough. So I have a little brevity on the board, and it is called Inkwell. So when you see it, let me know. Y'all got it?
Got
is
it.
Is that like a rush?
Okay.
Rush
all right.
Test?
No, you know, depending on my mood, I can be completely psycho or just the most like Stepford person ever. So I trust those things, not even a little bit. But this is Inkwell, and it goes like this. The gentle umbra of ink flows and feels. Words awash in kindness permeate malleable skin. Within a tender heart lies bravery and song, as hope lays foundation to all, and the gentle umbra fled in ink. I forgot that I wrote that one. Short and sweet.
Like our hostess.
Don't you like when that happens, though? When you read something and you're like, wow, I wrote that? I forgot I wrote that. That's pretty awesome. Like this, within a tender heart lies bravery and song. I love that piece. It's like brilliant. One of those, I wish I wrote that kind of lines.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you. That's
awesome.
Truly a lovely, lovely thing to say.
Oh, well. Just true. Really, really great line. But like I said, the whole brevity, I think I'm going to have to save it. I see that Crystal already did. It's really hard to make that much impact with 36 words or, you know, few words.
Yeah.
So, like, kudos to you, dear heart.
Aw, thank you.
Tell her about her brilliant track.
Oh, man.
No pressure.
No pressure. I think I swell her head sometimes to the point that she can't get through the door despite herself. she doesn't take compliments well, but, you know, I've been a fan since I've known her. That's kind of how we met, actually. You know, I won't say I stalked her, but I appreciated the things that I ran across, and I got giddy every time I got to hear it, so. It was fun getting to know her and learning things and like that and continuing to get to know her and you know the way that she looks at things is unique and you know people try and make the I think they make the mistake of trying to see things through her eyes rather than just appreciate what it is that she's saying Yeah, I really appreciate this for what it is. The idea of it, it's beautiful.
Sounds to me like you were warning people against trying to step into her brain, just saying.
It's a dangerous, dangerous place. It's all sharp and pokey and midnight black. But it's interesting. It's never boring.
Ah, there's more than midnight black in there. Who are you kidding?
And when you talk about boring, it depends on your definition of to bore.
This is true. Now,
I'm pretty sure that I have never heard anyone put that word in a sentence with pretty bird. Oh, I think my head would explode, but whatever.
And we have callers. We have Miss Lady A. Hello, hello.
Hi there. How are you?
Awesome. Good. How are you?
I know that Canuck.
And we have Sky on the phone. How's Mama Sky? Sky?
Oh, she's 2 hours and 46 minutes. She's good.
You know, not for nothing. I kind of miss those annoying talks with my mother. You know, it's just,
it really wasn't annoying.
I can't
annoying.
Have them
really
anymore.
Nice.
Me too.
She doesn't.
Oh, you see? That's
she doesn't. She's the one who doesn't call me too often, so she's fine. My other mother calls me every single day without fail, but doesn't keep me on the phone for so long. But if we go a day without talking, she panics. So I've got one other who calls me every day, but then I get the other one that calls me slightly less but texts me. But then when I get her on the phone, it's like 3 hours
Girl,
later.
Soak it in. Soak in that love. Bask in it. I'm telling you.
That's what I was going to say. Bathe in that while you can.
Mm-hmm. So tonight, Miss Sweet Pea is hopefully going to call us back in a little bit. She is a busy bee, that one. And so we are transitioning to open poetry so that she can run her anagrams next week. And I kind of loved the anagrams, by the way. I was hundreds of words into my poets before I, you know, just put the kibosh on my OCD or I would have been here for 2 days. So...
Yeah,
I loved it. And so for her not to miss out on that wonderful idea of hers, that's next week. So tonight we are open poetry, so bring something fabulous. And speaking of fabulous, hello, AP, how are you?
That's a lovely introduction. I'm well, pretty good. How are you?
Awesome, awesome, awesome. I don't know if you got a chance to hear that tonight we are postponing the anagram for next week.
Yes.
Because
Yes, I did. Yes.
Awesome.
Yes.
So it is open poetry. So just about anything goes so long as it's PG-13 because we ain't that kind of show.
Well, the good news is I think I heard Sky in the background and I did a piece for Sky. So I was gonna bring the piece that I wrote for Sky.
Oh, well,
ooh,
now you got to put that up. Let's go.
We do that? I hope that's okay. So, I don't get a chance to sort of write like on Tolkien here and about, but I love Lord of the Rings. Lord of the Rings was my favorite book. I've read it about 10 times before I was 16. And so I do occasionally go into a Tolkien phase. So my thanks to Sky 2 for the bronze. And this is of shadows. And the quote was, she glanced at the trees nearby, the low light turned all colours into shadows upon shadows. This is of shadows. And it goes a little bit like this. So there are shadows of life and shadows of conscience. And within the midst of this fabled wood, those lines intersect. As all shadows are not grey, in their intersection they have a purple luster that speaks of the crimson tone of blood and the ashen blue of an eve sky before stars interfere with the hue. And that same glow reflects on knives that are then drawn. They sparkle with starlight and with the intent of their owners. As has always been, as a weapon can only be as forceful as the one who with purpose wields. As weapons have been used in this forest before, to thin out the forest and provide the beams for great halls and humble cottages alike. But today those weapons were not aimed at trees, but at the elven band that had formed at the forest edge. Their foe, the undead, did not move with shadows, and so their blades were as dark as their hearts. Shadows provide not just beauty, but they indicate will, and will shall remain in ascendancy evermore. End poem.
You know, I this for me, this is a little bit different for you. It's like a little story of fabulousness. I'm used to all of your forms and your and your shapes and all of the fabulousness that I associate with you. But this, my goodness, your second thing up here and within the mists of the state in the way, where is it? No, here. As all shadows are not gray in their intersection, they have a purple luster that speaks of the crimson tone of blood and the ashen blue of an eve sky before stars interfere with the hue. And that is about the most stunning depiction of darkness as I have ever read, complete with blood and awesomeness. And that is just amazing. And your closing lines where shadows provide not just beauty, but they indicate will, and will shall remain in ascendancy evermore. You know, I mean, this whole thing is amazing, but it grabbed me with the way you describe the darkness, and then it's shadows are, you give them substance instead of just fear and mist, and I'm all about shadows. Darkness. So I just love this. I'm saving it. Loved it. So so Sky, since this is for, well, first of all, let's say hi to Sweet Pea because she's back.
No, she's
hi,
hello.
Hello.
Hello. Back on my own show, isn't it?
It is.
Thank
so
you
do you want me to run
comments? You thank you.
Yes,
please.
Okay. So, Sky, since this was for you, what are your thoughts on this fabulousness?
Oh, I loved it. So I had this concept up for 2 weeks, and I think people, I read all these books, and I just pull out all the lines to myself. Sometimes I go on Goodreads, and I'll supplement a few, but I pull, almost, just in case if I missed it while I was reading. But all the lines I do for these contests, I pull out while I'm reading, and I'm very passionate about them. And I had told Deb, I said, as long as I have 3 good pieces, I'm happy. I don't even care if I need all 8. And I got to tell you, I had 3 pieces in this contest, and they were all so brilliant. And it's worth it because, you know, I love the way that you went with it. Because I ended up reading this book because I read it, the first one, which was Ash. And it was like a remake of Cinderella, but with a gay twist, but also set in like real, say, and a darker sense. And this is kind of where this left off too, and talking about the fae and elven culture. So I love that one, you brought that into it. And you may have not known that about the background of the book, but it is definitely high fantasy fae. Like there's the hunters and there's there's so many different creatures and the elves in it, and so I love that you brought that element into it and you stayed with it and you paid homage to it. I'm a big fan of Tolkien, so again, the ideas of this war with the trees and the storytelling, in the midst of the fabled woods, those lines intersect. I loved that introduction with the descriptions of the gray. And one of the main focuses, not in this book, but in Ash, was the forest. And it was something that I clung to from the first book, and I was like, I can't wait to the second book. And it wasn't a sequel, but it was almost like a different character, but in the past. And they kept with those hidden secrets and the forest and the fae. And I feel like you really captured that, but not in anything sense of the book. But created your own story and your own tale, especially like how you speak of weapons and about those that wield them and how the, a weapon is only for who has it in their hand, for their intentions, and then this idea of the undead, because you could be talking, you know, the actual undead, but then also you could be talking in metaphor, and I like the way that you can kind of take it and the duality of it, and the way that you play on shadows. It's really, really well done. I really enjoyed this one. And there were three rights in this contest, and I'll tell you, it was really hard. I really loved every one of them in their own right. It was brilliant.
Thanks, Scott.
And I recommended it for everyone to read.
That is awesomeness. And Raconteur, your thoughts?
Yeah, I enjoyed it for a lot of different reasons. I mean, the wordplay, just the initial thought that, you know, you hear the word shadows and, you know, pardon the pun, but, you know, people think black and white, and you bring out the different shades, and that's really how a shadow comes to life, because those shades take shape, and, you know, they do really come to life when you think of them in that sense, which is a brilliant thought. This is really great, the way that you constructed it like that, because it opens your mind in so many different directions, and it takes hold, and you know, it's got a beautiful direction, and the story behind it. You know, again, I'm a fan of the fantasy and whatnot, so you know the trees and things like that, and the battle and the weaponry all plays into my fried brain. So this really appeals to the insane in me. I enjoyed it very much, AP.
Thank you, Rex. Thank you.
And Miss Lady A, what are your thoughts?
Well, I'm not familiar with any of these books, and I've never seen the movies. So I'm just going on what was written here without knowing any background. And I thought this was a real, how can I say, like you've left your style behind and wrote this in for me to see in this new way. And the story itself was very dark and intriguing. I thought it was a really I don't want to say interesting, because that's kind of a boring word, but I thought it was I just thought it was a really great change of style of writing for you, and I thought it was there's a word that's bugging me, and it's not falling off my tongue, but it was something that had me at the edge of my seat, wondering what was going to happen next, and what is the word I'm looking for when you deviate from your norm?
Outside of his wheelhouse, I would say.
Outside of his wheelhouse, yeah.
How about the term?
Someone else, by God.
Somebody else.
Someone else.
Oh, that's not. I know what I'll think of it probably before the end of the night. But I liked it, AP. I liked that it was outside of your genre, you took on a whole different persona in this, and I enjoyed it very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Sorry, I was stuttering so badly.
Oh, you're all right. And Miss Deborah Lee, what are your thoughts?
Well, for starters, I had read this, and I noticed just now that in your response, AP, that you said I only write Tolkien style for good friends, and that that's when it hit me. I, like Lady A, have not read any of the books or saw any of the movie, and to me, it was its own little story thing going on here, and I already thought you did a great job, that you stepped outside of you and pulled this out, and it was obvious that you were writing for your hostess, And I thought your details and all were really cool, and didn't know that it could have been a piece of another part of that story. And then after you replied that you only write in that style for friends, I went back and read it again, and the correlation hit a little bit better. So I think that you did an awesome job with this one. It was a fun write. And
thank you, Deb.
How about Lady A? Did he get you vested in there, in the details, maybe?
No, the word I'm looking for means that he has stepped outside of his comfort zone or his style.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't think of the word. No, that's not it. I'll think of it. I'm sorry, I have Alzheimer's tonight. I'm very sorry. But I think you know what I mean in any case. And
I do, Lady A. I do. And look, I have been writing a little bit differently of late. And I've actually started writing a novel. And that's probably contributing to me sounding a little bit different to what I normally sound.
That was great. It was great. I just wish I could use the proper word to describe that greatness.
No, thank you.
You're welcome.
And Deb is on the board, and yes.
Okay. Just asking.
Just to put our poetry on the. I don't know if I wrote my name.
Yeah, Deb is on the board, and then Bud sent me a SoundCloud with a poem that I already loaded into the studio, and then Sky, and as soon as you have one, then you're up after that, right?
Okay.
I just wanted to tell Mr. AP that the first line pulled me so incredibly hard that there are shadows of light and shadows of consequence or conscience. So therefore, from this moment on, all shadows must confess their sins. For one must have a conscience. So that's it. That's what I got from it. That's what I love about the whole thing. Consciousness. So there you go. You're welcome.
And the show is all yours, sweet.
Oh, yay. So, hello, everyone. I'm sorry for my delay. Thank you very, 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 very much. Hello, Miss Pretty Bird. You don't know how grateful I am. Definitely been a busy week. From game wardens to everything else like that in my life. But I'm glad everybody's here to do their open poetry because it is one of my favorite things. Hello, Sky. Hello, Deb. Hello, Raconteur. Hello, Lady A. I was so interested in listening to the monkeys, but I did not get to do that. And Deb, before you read, I am going to read this very interesting fact about my anagram show. And I'm going to put them on the board. Maybe it will entice others to do it. But this is about the anagram show, which is going to be next week. But here are some very interesting facts. I'm sorry I'm interrupting the open poetry. But for Edgar Allan Poe, there are 1,099 words you can find. For Dr. Seuss, there are 72. For Shakespeare, there are 488. For Lewis Carroll, there are 909. For Homer, there are 44. For Emily Dickinson, there are 1,473. For Robert Frost, there are 314. And for Cell Silverstein, there are 1,641. So I think you should be able to find out for you to write a little poem. But that's all the facts I'll show
you
now.
You could see with Dr. Seuss and Theodore Bissell.
Well, I'm just,
I don't know if that's going to give you more words or not, but
I'm just saying, put two of those together, you could find some words. But yeah. All right, Deb, take us away with your beautiful work.
Okay, I was just sending Hatter to his vault because He just finished his, so I told him to put it on your new board and bring you open poetry. Now, this was written for a prompt for George Michael's songs, and this is to the song Kissing the Fool. And it's called Too Far to Be My Star as I Skew the View, Fooling Me. Here we go. Two eyes weep as you cover me with kisses, then blanket me in a web of lies too, whispering that we can show them all just by seeing this thing through. So I dress in this big smile and wear the glasses with pink stained lenses, and I wait for you. What a light bulb flashes neon above this brain as the opal stars detonate on the velvet view. And hot cinders from the constellations scar the skin like the needle dotting a tattoo. All the waiting and the lies grow old. So I'm snipping the ties that knot me to you, leaving you to scoop up the lint and scraps, then scraping you off like gum stuck on a shoe. Waving goodbye and blowing you a kiss as I do. And pull.
Oh, this is a very nice goodbye to you, goodbye to you kind of poem. I'm snipping the ties that knot me to you, leaving you scooped up the lint and the scraps and scraping you off like gum stuck on a shoe, waving goodbye and blowing you a kiss as I do. This is just perfect. I love the sarcasm and, you know, I've always blown you a kiss as in I love you, but this time, SOB,
not so much.
On my shoe. Oh, yeah. Love that little sarcastic twist in the end. Yeah. But, and the other thing I really like is that icky, gooey, walking a spider web kind of, and yet it's a web of lies. It's just that whole feeling of, and then that actually, So that was very visceral and to me. Fabulous. So, Miss Pretty Bird, your thoughts.
Thank you, sweet.
You know, this starts all, you know, two eyes weep as you cover me with kisses, which is a beautiful notion because, you know, it's that overwhelming affection and then lovely, and then they blanket the web of lies, too, and they cancel each other out in this palpable numbness of emotion and broken trust. And I got stopped there because it's a feeling that I'm all too familiar with. And I was just like, all right, I'm choking it and fine. And then that your second stanza, where, you know, those rose colored glasses where you're just optimistic and time passes with nothing. And it's nice that there's a twist in there that you're all like, ha, see ya. And so that there's kind of redemption for all of that pain. But boy, did that sit heavy with me. So I kind of really, really, really dug this. I love anything that makes me feel. So this one got me.
Awesome. I like making you feel.
There you go.
Feel.
And rack and tour.
Yeah, the title alone, "Kissing a Fool," is something that really is relatable to me. You know, when it comes to love and romance, I always take the fool angle. It's something, I don't know, that just seems to fit. And when you add the sarcasm to it, this is absolutely stunning for me. I just, you know, the gum on the shoe and everything. And like everyone said, it sounds like it's almost romantic. And, you know, you could be like a fool for love or something like that in a positive way, but that ain't what you're talking about here. I love the tongue-in-cheek. And no pun intended when you're talking about a kiss, but yeah, this is really a cool write. It's probably one of my favorites. I mean, the wordplay is great. It's got, you know, your thumbprints all over it. So, you know, if I stumbled across it without attributing it to anyone, I kind of feel like, you know, that sounds like something Deb would write. You know, that there's a couple of phrases in here. Not so much the gum on the shoe, but I mean, that's one of them. but there's other, a couple others that just scream, you know, when I think of you, I hear, you know, the way these words are constructed, you know, that's something that Deb would write. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. I think in that aspect, you might have just been picking up on some of that Jersey attitude sticking out through the line.
Could be.
And
I hide it well, but not all the time.
Oh, you're amazing with that.
I didn't know this song from George Michael. I love George Michael, and I think he's a brilliant writer. And, you know, some of the lyrics in this song that I just picked up, you know, people, you can never change the way they feel, better let them do just what they will, for they will if you let them steer your heart. And it's a beautiful little song, Deb. I hadn't heard it before, and I just went in and was listening to it. And you really give a nice sort of sense and feel of what he's trying to do with his lyrics here. The just that sense of the fact that, you know, people are there and you've just got to show a little bit of caution and show a little bit of restraint, and, you know, you've just, or otherwise you end up like that bit of gum on the road. I think you did a wonderful job here.
Wow. Thank you so much. And it's a great album, the whole album. Yes. Oh, you were waiting for me. I didn't hear my name. I'm sorry. I thought this was great. I loved how you started it, Two Eyes Weep, as you cover me with kisses and blanket me in a web of lies, too. Each stanza is perfect, but I really like the third verse. But a light bulb flashes neon above his brain as opal stars detonate on a velvet view and hot cinders from the constellations scar the skin like the needle dotting a tattoo. Great cadence. I love those lines. The whole thing is wonderful.
Thank you, Sif. Great comment.
And for a kiss-off, that's pretty hot.
And my beautiful, beautiful sky. Oh, I love this one. You know, I think there's a thing that happens sometimes in relationships where you hold on to it so tightly that you don't realize how much you're working against the grain, and you're kind of blinded by what you want to be and what truly is. And in this piece, and even in the beginning with the first two stanzas, I really feel that with the kisses that blight me and the web of lies too, whispering that we can show them all just by seeing this through. So that promise of things that are going to get better, and then dressing up with those smiles and, you know, leaving all that dust on the top of ceiling fans just to gather until it starts tumbling down, and then that's where you kind of come in through the end, you know. And I really, really love the creativity of this line here with the, I'm snipping the ties that knot me to you. I really, really love that metaphor and that use of language and using that knot me to you. I thought that was really creative. And, you know, this was a wonderful piece, and unfortunately that many relationships that end up, you know, being here and having to say yes, goodbye, and as everything comes to the surface and you kind of come to terms with reality. Really well done.
Thank you, Sky.
Thank you.
All right. And then we have Lady A to go up.
We have Bud, and then Sky, and then Lady A.
All right.
And Bud has a SoundCloud in the studio, so he's on the board. Just let me know when you want me to hit play.
Hit play.
Here we go.
She bends the stars with a wink and a smile.
Again, first off, this has got to be one of my absolute favorites from you, bud. The lyrics are stunning. Just absolutely stunning. It's romantic imagery that fills the song. I love the melody. I love the smooth vocals. I think that's just really got me. Your vocals are just really on point. They're smooth, they're soothing, they're romantic, they've got that soft little whisper, and you've got that catchy hum all day chorus. You've got to start with a wink and a smile. I think that's just all perfect in that beautiful song there. I love An Angel's Face of Bliss, Come Soon, The Token Kiss, Shy Repentance. I love so many of the stanzas in the song. An angel face she plays upon when ebon fire in her stare at dawn. And if I keep going, I'll take all of them, and then I'll have a couple of poets in here that will want to smack me around. I'm pretty burdened up just to mention a couple. But, yeah, this is stunning. I really did enjoy it. So we'll start with Deb.
Yeah, I really, really always enjoy when Budo sings his poetry. He's really great at writing lyrics and putting them to music, because, I mean, it's not impressive enough that he does a beautiful job with the lyrics, but he writes the music for it as well. So, I mean, that's just wow. What else can you say wow? And he has this certain style and flair that, you know, you can definitely tell it's him. And I know that people keep saying stuff like, oh, a little bit Dylan-esque or a little this-esque or that. But I disagree. I think that he has his own little style there and that he shines in it each time he writes a new song. And I do, yes, I have a few of his songs on my list. I actually wish I could write music for my own poems. But yeah, right. No, it's brilliant. I very much enjoyed.
And Pretty Bird.
The opening line, she bends the stars with a wink and a smile. How beautiful is that notion? I mean, how much does that weigh on the heart to see somebody that just beautifully? I'm just, swoon. But there's this line down towards the bottom. Unbridled consciousness, it seems. A whispered sigh, waves in a dream. I just get lost in this. And he hadn't sang in a while. He hadn't posted for the shows and song for quite a bit. And while I enjoyed his trilogy storytelling for your fables this past month, I really, really, really just fell into this because, you know, I'm just going to pretend that it's my smile and it's my song and I'm definitely serenaded. So, you know, there's that.
Very good. I'd claim that one too. But you did it first. Lady A.
Hey. Oh, Canada.
She must be mooted.
No, I'm just, I'm struggling with something right now, but just give me a second. You want me to comment
okay,
on Budo's?
I can come back to, yeah, Budo's song.
Yeah, no, I was listening to it, and I think he definitely has a musical talent, but I love how he started this off, and I wish. You know, I see some of these lines sometimes and I think, why didn't I think of that? How come I can't think of that stuff? She bends the stars with a wink and a smile. And that just sent me over the moon myself. And I thought starting it out like that, it just got better and better. Her breath spins in ones and twos, ethereal in reds and blues. Just a gorgeous piece of love poem, and her moment lingers on memory's touch, her graceful fingers touch up above. Buddha, this is just so beautiful, just really, really gorgeous. My favorite, though, is that she bends the stars with a wink and a smile. Just beautiful.
And AP?
Well, the lovely thing about it is that it speaks as a work of performance art. It speaks as a song. And the lyrics are lovely. And the guitar playing is terrific. But you put it together and it just creates a feel and atmosphere together that's more than the lyrics. And it's more than the guitar playing, and it's sort of like 1 + 1 = 5. And I just really enjoyed it. I thought it was terrific.
And Sky, make your comment and read, because I know you have to go with 10.
What? Did Rat comment?
Oh, I'm sorry. Rat comment. Rat, make your comment.
Oh, I really enjoyed this. I think you outdid yourself with this one, Budo. You know, it made me think of, you know, just composing, you know, a poem by itself is like one creative aspect, but to be able to take a guitar and write to the same thing, that's like, you know, I'm almost happy sometimes that I can't play an instrument because it would drive me insane. I think I would never get anything done. I'd be sitting there going, okay, this has to go this way, and the creative process of tying it together, you know, I mean, if writing the lyrics to the music rather to the words, or the words to the music, you know, there's another chicken and egg question that comes up. I mean, you really blow my mind. But the individual thoughts within this, the wording and everything just makes this really stellar. It's enviable. It really is. You did an amazing job with this poem.
Stockholm.
I think that was Miss Stockholm. I love this.
It was Miss Stockholm.
It is my favorite. It is definitely I've heard a lot of Buteau's pieces, and this is by far my favorite one of his songs. I love when poets write lyrics because you can tell. And, you know, I've played, my friend Dave and I used to play around with my words and his beautiful talents with music before he died. And he would always tell me, stop being so metaphorical. He would always yell at me. So there's definitely, he's like, you can't do that. And there's definitely a balance that you need to have to make lyrics and poetry successful. And for me, it was hard. It was a hard change. But Dan, wow, he melded the two so wonderfully together, where you get these beautiful lines, you know, that, and I think, you know, they've kind of been said already, but the near and far, she skips from moon to stars. Oh, my goodness, what a wonderful vision of skipping across the universe. But in a very metaphorical way of love, and I thought this was so brilliant, really, really well done. I was really blown away with this one, actually, with the way that you put in poetry into lyrics, specifically these beautiful lines of metaphor, but that can be sung and that can be understood relatively quickly and get kind of stuck in your head. Really, really well done.
All right.
And comment.
Must you read and run, or are you going to be able to listen to me read?
Oh, no, I can't read now. You have to read now. I can't read.
Oh,
now.
Okay. I just thought you had to really go, but I didn't want to block your way.
I did, but I'll wait for you.
I didn't want to poetry
I'm
block
be a little,
or anything.
A good little girl in the attic.
Okay, all right, so this is The Fire Burns On. It's based on Billy Joel's song. It was a challenge for one of Randall's shows. So, The Fire Burns On. Tangerine skies kiss blue ocean waters on golden sandy beaches. A midnight wind swirls red-hot amber hitchhikers from bonfire giggles into the dried scenes of a tattered, worn world. And flames blaze higher. The mother of earth fought to cleanse the garbage thrown upon her. Earthquakes cracked and dirt crust. Earthquakes cracked, dirt crust, airways grace lungs and volcanic ash. Tsunamis washed away land and family bloodlines. Terrorists defined a movement for cowards without purpose, and two towers fell. A fortress invaded and a plane of superheroes died. A teenage girl shouted to the world, educate a girl, and survived their bullet. We watched friends in a house in space become a hostel for science. The human genome peeped out to say hello and awed us. A beautiful berry wins against the monsters at the ball. The world is led by prisoners and villains and humans in between. Compromise is lost at sea and people are drowning. Waiting for fresh water, food, medicine, the simple acts of kindness to be free. Veterans, homeless, elderly, disrespected, gangs rule neighborhoods, tagged in white paint, no flowers bloom on white picket fence streets. No swing set dreams and playgrounds littered with crystal meth schemes. Cubs win, the goat goes to Cleveland. Facebook is a high school drama. Google makes it into the dictionary. Love is love. Marriage is marriage. YouTube rocks the music, and cell phones are addictive.
A world stopped and gasped and fights the news it hears today. Wash your hands, wear a mask, stay away from the family. Restaurants closed, job losses, death is at the door. Panic, chaos, confusion, conspiracy, liars, riots, lunacy, black plague, SARS, and COVID-19. Day and night we mourn. In decades we heal. In centuries we learn. Tangerine skies kiss blue ocean waters on golden sandy beaches. A midnight wind swirls red-hot ember hitchhikers from golden bonfire circles into the dried scenes of a tattered, worn world.
I absolutely love the way you bookended this, because it's a powerful punctuation to the piece that depicts reality and all of its starkness and all of its pain and bitterness and fear and truth. And it is a hard thing to look at it in bullet points of like little snapshots of news highlights, and it's exactly what it's been, and it is hard to see in words the truth of it, and yet in your delicate voice and with your wonderful verbiage, you made it very not only tangible but and palpable, but palatable as well. It is not this. For a stark as it is, it doesn't gouge your eyes to see it. You know what I mean? Like, it's not hard to watch. It's easy to understand how it's true. And that takes a bit of grace. I don't personally have that bit of grace, but I'm glad that you do. But that opening and closing verse, really, it almost kind of tells, like, you open the book, and the world is there listening, and then at the end you close it like story time is over. Only it's not a story, it's just everyday life nowadays. And it's really quite powerful. And yeah, lovely. So Miss Deborah Lee, what are your thoughts?
Yeah. Damn sweet. For one, I agree with the things that PB was just saying, because like your voice was such a contrast to the hard hitting information that you were slugging us with as you went along, and by the time you got to the end where those hot embers were hitchhiking around, so were all the little images you shared through the lines, and it forces you to think, well, you know, stop for a minute and realize, damn, most of the things you just said, if not verbatim, it's true. It's going on right around me, and it drove it home. So it's like shows that you pay attention, and maybe pushes the reader a little to pay attention too, and look at some of that reality. So hell of a right, sweet.
Thank you.
And
there's so much not in here.
What was
and
that?
Rack-
I said, and there's so much not in here.
That's even more scary of a thought, between what you did put in and what you did not, and then couple it with the stuff in your personal life. I'm surprised you're not somewhere, you know? yeah.
No.
Who's to say she's not drooling on herself?
Well, she sounds pretty coherent and cohesive to me, but you just never know. Sometimes we fake it quite well. Right,
she hides it well.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought this is pretty amazing. The thought that really grabs me, the creativeness, the embers, when you look at a fire, each you know, little pop, the embers are, so each little verse, each idea that you offer us is one of those floating embers in that fire. That's how you tied it together for me. And then, you know, the idea of the beauty that you remind us of, and on the one hand, but the destruction on the other hand, you know, and you always have a way of writing destruction that makes it sound like, you know, oh, it's a love poem. Yeah, right. But I really enjoy the way you put things together like that, because, you know, when you construct a sentence, there's this, you know, definite ways of putting one thought before another to change the meaning of it. That's kind of subtle, and some people just plain ignore it or just don't notice it or don't realize that that's what you're doing. And I think that's the beauty of writing in words that you capture in something like this. I mean, this is just fantastic.
Thank you, Rock. Thank you very much.
And Miss Lady A, what are your thoughts?
This was extremely important, right? I think that there's so much that's packed into it that when it's condensed like this, line for line, it's almost overwhelming to see what we've all lived through and seen in the last 20 years. I think that we haven't evolved very much. And if anything, we have dissolved. And I think you've spoken to that very well. And like you said, there's so many other things that you didn't put in here that it would take forever to write the piece. But I thought you did a fantastic job. It was very moving and emotional. And a boot in the arse for anybody that's asleep, you know.
Thank you.
And Miss Skye, if you would put your poem up on the board and give us a comment for Sweet, and I believe we have Hatter in the studio.
Hey.
Hey,
Hatter.
Hey.
Hello.
Mr. Shepo.
Hey, Hatter.
Hey.
Yeah, I thought this was sweet. This is, you know, I find it, for me, I find it hard to put these kind of thoughts into poetry. I've never really, you know, when you think of all that, sometimes it's really overwhelming to bring, like we say, there's so many things left out. I think if I ever started, I don't know if I would ever be able to stop. And, you know, the wealth that you bring in here, again, this moment, this picture captured in time, that is history in the making, and where we are and what's happening is just it's overwhelming. And you write it in this piece with such brilliancy and focus, I really think that it's important to be the voice of things around us. And I think that's an important aspect of poets. I don't see it enough, I don't think. But, you know, it's hard to be, I guess, have a voice and bring in not, I guess, I don't want to say bias, it's not really what I want to say, but bring in the facts and really lay them bare. And, you know, this is piece is at times painful to listen to and to read and to hear. But it's truth, and I think that no matter how sometimes things are hard to swallow, you do need to swallow that truth. And I thought this piece was brilliantly done, and done well. And pieces like this, for me anyway, aren't always done appropriately or well or well toned and well presented. They often, for me, when I'm reading, fall a little short, and this was done perfectly. I thought you did this wonderfully.
Thank you.
And if you put your poem up, Sky, you are next.
I'm not good at the multitasking. So I brought this one because I couldn't decide, but it's called The Book Bench at Lily's Fountain by Sky Darko. Yeah, I know. I read beside Lily Fountain on afternoons, wind spinners dance like willow leaves on hula skirts, a soft wind that settles sun when it begs to burn too bright, those partly cloudy days that seem to shadow pages and mirror clouds and water beds. But the sun, she still peeks from behind to see what words there lie,
to sip from French and lean on camelots, to color yellow in pads of green. A silent nymph stooping over shoulder while keeping back pearls of blue. I think now and again how it succumbed to overgrowth, sprouts dried up, moss lace trimming limbs. But there becomes its beauty, still with time and grace, not overcrowded with conversations, nor prim and pruned for show, just sitting beside park benches, listening for words carried on wind, stolen sun whispers that flip page to page, enjoying literature's company with reader until it rains. And home.
Wow. This is so beautiful. I love your colors, and I love a silent name. Stooping over shoulder while keeping back pearls of blue. That imagery is just, I don't know, it just is so brilliant and bright, and it just to me is, I don't know, it's like the ultimate fantasy world to me. It's just that perfect imagery. It's just you're kind of over and hunched in that aura of blue is what I was trying to say. That seems to, and the other from those partly cloudy days, the seamy shadow pages, the mirror clouds on the waterbed. The imagery you paint, I don't know, it's like, it's almost like a painting you paint of this perfect little land of infant fairies and everything. And it's just got all the magical things that would go on my head if I was thinking of those perfect little lands. And I love not overcrowded with conversations, nor prim and prune for show. Of course, I'm going to keep going on and on, because literally I have this brilliant painting in my mind, and you did such a wonderful job of describing it. And then, of course, I love Stolen Sun Whispers, and then it goes on until it rains. Just stunning sky, as always.
Thank you, sweet.
You're welcome. And, Lady A, your thoughts?
Well, Sky is one of my favorite poets, and I love how this gave me an image of, even though, like, you know, this reading bench, but it gave me the image of fairyland and the little park, about the little tiny lake, and amongst the lilies, and I just thought it was very whimsical in a lot of ways, and I liked how you made it come alive in most of the lines, and then in the end, Stolen Sun Whispers that flip page to page, enjoying literature's company with reader until it rains. Like, it's just this really private place. But I have, you know, it, to me, it's like a little elf person is sitting on a little tiny bench reading. And I really loved it. I thought it was beautifully written.
Thank you, Leah.
Yeah. And Rack.
Well, now she's got me wondering with elves in Canada. I really like this. It kind of personified that thing that everyone argues about, you know, everything's going digital, you know, but there's people that say, you know, I prefer the feel of a book in my hands, and this makes me think about, you know, holding that book and reading it, because, you know, it's a separate adventure than, you know, digitally, to be sure, and, you know, even audiobooks, you know, it's nice to have it with you. It's like, you know, a bedtime story, but it's not the same as holding the book. And, you know, to be able to take it someplace and turn it into, like, you know, a little, almost vacation to sit outside and, you know, enjoy the sun and just, you know, have a quiet place and you and the words, and you go on your adventure. Beautiful, beautifully done.
Thank you, Rex.
So you open this with, you know, afternoons where windspinners dance like willow leaves on hula skirts, and how wonderfully vibrant is that?
And that is just delicate and lovely. And you pull us into this partly cloudy day, this breezy, partly cloudy day, and all of its wonder with all of the words. And then you just slide in Camelot for Water Lily, which I'm in love with because words. And it, you don't even question what it means. You know, it's just there and fabulous and beautiful like everything else. And where's that line that I like so much? It is da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But the sun, she still peeks from behind to see what words there lie, to sip from print and gleam on Camelot, to color yellow on path of green. And I love that. Like, she's not gone yet. She sees. She's watching. She's like, what you got there, girlie? And I love that. I absolutely love that it's an entire mood. From the breeze on skin to the color of the flowers and the sun, and it's just lovely. And there is something to be said about flipping pages of a book. I've never been an e-book kind of girl. It's because I have to wear my glasses more because of the pixels, and I have to dim this and look at that. It's like mechanical, where you can't smell the pages, and you can't. It's not an easy, it's like looking at a vista. You can see a picture, but until you're there and see the vastness of the sky or the water, or the mountains, it's just not quite the same, you know? And speaking of vistas, that's kind of what this is. It's like you take us on this journey, this beautiful, all-encompassing, enrapturing little place, this peaceful moment of wonder, and it's lovely.
Thank you, Braybird. I definitely like both. I prefer and only read poetry, and there are certain books I'll only read in hand. But I do like both. There is a convenience but there is a difference between being able to just settle down with a book, and I often do that with poets, you know, like Sylvia Plath, Dylan Thomas, Robert Frost. I definitely only read those in books. There's something special about that. But I am a fan of audio.
All righty, Sky. Thanks for being here. I really appreciate it. Don't bite me.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Have a good night. Wonderful poetry. I've already dropped
Thank
for
you.
Your next children. I've got something for you. I've got something for you,
yes.
Pretty Bird, but sometimes I get really indecisive.
So well, I got a lot of money from you,
jeez.
So that's not
back in the
attic. Good night,
back in the
attic. Yeah,
thank
good
you.
And I believe, Lady A, you are up if you drop your piece up on the board.
Drop your piece, baby.
Okay. Drop it like it's hot. I would sing it, but I can't get the tune in my head right now, or I'll never get out.
All right, who's typing?
They're doing the laundry. It sounds the dryer or something's going.
Yeah, that would be the dryer. That would be me. I try to mute when everybody's reading.
Okay.
But yeah.
Don't worry about it, as long as we know what it is. You're drying your clothes. My dog's trying to bite me. Life is good.
There's in the room there now, and this is a poem that I wrote for John Coe. And the picture was the prompt, and it was a fantasy write he wanted. And I seems to me, let's see, I did win gold for that. And the picture is quite, it's an owl landing in the snow or trying to land in the snow. So this is called Unlikely Friends. White gown beneath white plumes, golden crown her head costumes, surveys land, scans below for winter meals upon the snow, wings outstretched, regally soars, terrain for miles explored, vista seen through sharpened eyes, great acuity until it dies. sight dimming in evening light, black as pitch into the night, shivering out in open view, prey for predators to subdue. Rescue from a dubious source in the form of a tiny mouse. Come with me out of the cold, said Mouse. Come to stay at my house. Upon her wings he sat as guide, spoke in her ear when to hide from hawks and prowling cats and other owls with ill intent. In and out from behind trees, led to a nesting hole in a tree, rested the nest in the nest all night, mouse and owl, unlikely sight. Sunrise born, they both awake, owl opens eyes and speaks. I can see you, mouse, my friend. Snow blindness he had to contend. Owl and mouse shared trust. Friendship bloomed with silver stardust. Promises made to protect each other. Mouse, now owl, surrogate mother. End poem.
Oh, this is beautiful. I really like this. And you won a gold medal for it. So I'm not the only one that likes this. I mean, this is just a brilliant story. And it's got, I mean, first off, your storytelling just shines through here. And it's got so many great details. I mean, you can feel the land. You can feel the love between them. You can actually, you know, picture this, the beauty of this owl and the tiny, you know, the empathy and the emotions of the mouse. And anytime I think a poet and a storyteller can bring out the empathy and the love and the worry and the tragedy of the situation and then bring this bond and make you feel it, that is just the talent, and it highlights the talent of the poet, and that shows your very, very talented side, Miss Lady A. So beautiful. And Hatter, are you out there to comment?
He's on the board, but he dropped out of the studio.
Oh, okay. Then, Rack and Tor, your comments, please.
Yeah, a mouse and an owl are very unlikely friends. I think almost everyone has it out for the mouse. You wrote a beautiful story of friendship between the two. It was very endearing.
Thank you.
And Pretty Bird.
I wish I had stayed to hear it. She likes stories like this.
And this is a very good story, and it feels good, too. You know, it's there isn't enough kindness, and oftentimes our artistic ways of choice, i.e. poetry, tend to lend themselves really well to misery and pain because, you know, people tend to purge more often than, you know, kindness. And this is just moving, and it's wonderfully visual. And I found myself listening to it like it's a story, like it's wonderful storytelling, and it's beautifully visual. And little thing about this black as pitch, because I was just having a conversation about that the other day, because I was like, what on earth is pitch? Because I've used into pitch and pitch black and all this stuff. And yeah, but I, you know, but not what the heck do I know from construction junk? You know, here it's blacktop or it's asphalt or it's whatever, you know, or just flat out tars. I had no clue. And I was like, well, there you go. So for those like me who are clueless, now you know.
Back in the colonial times, back when, you know, when they would construct log cabins and stuff, the pitch is what they used to seal the wood together.
There you go.
Or they also would use it like a tar to put shingles on a roof.
Mm-hmm.
Things I do not know. All right. Rack and Tor goes, eh?
He does. I just have to pull his poem. Give me one second. Because I thought I had it in my thing, but apparently I never hit the button. Because, you know, I am an imperfect person.
No, you're not. Don't you ever say something like that again.
I am perfectly me for whatever that means. How's that?
That's right. That works.
And so, Rack, you are on the board. Just let me know when you guys see him. Oh, he beat me to it. I didn't even notice. Look at you. And
push,
let me know when you're ready. Okay, here we go.
Second Hand Heart by Raconteur. What does life mean to the broken? Unable to suture a lesion and expect things to work like before. Wishful thinking, posing as a band-aid, staving off the inevitable. Scar tissue is the parchment I bleed my story onto, chronicling how dreams become nightmares by simply dancing just out of reach. I try to scream, but can't make a sound. A lifetime of anguish weighing upon my chest, impeding my ability to draw breath. Since my devastation refuses to drain with the tears that I drown in, I've grown numb to the pain and blind to what lies ahead. A cacophony of voices argue in my mind, ironically questing for silence, knowing it's something I'll never find. Struggling every day to be the best version of myself, just because it's the right thing to do. In a world where chivalry is meaningless and nobody is interested in anything I have to offer. Tomorrow holds no promise, and beyond tomorrow promises an eternity of mounting grief. End poem.
Oh my God. If I just don't stop bawling or just start bringing tissue every time you read, that is what I should do. I'm going to call you the tissue man. Ah, God, what does life mean to the broken, unable to suture, I can't even talk, unable to truly, I can't, whatever. Well, first off, the heart doesn't work forever. Scar tissue is the parchment I bleed my story onto. Trust me, it doesn't. Never has, never will. But even with the scar, things have to go on, and you have to figure out all of that. And chivalry is not meaningless. I promise you it's not. Promises of eternity of mounting grief. How very sad. I don't even know why you touch me so deeply, but you certainly do. I to have a broken heart and to have a broken heart all in 1 year, so much to do. So much to handle. And the Band-Aids for one are much easier to heal than the Band-Aids for the other. And you just touched me so many ways. So, Leia, your thoughts?
Well, I have to agree with everything you've said, because he does the same thing to me. And, it's very sad. And your voice conveys that sadness, too. And when you just put your recordings on, the end of this piece was the kicker for me. Tomorrow holds no promise, and beyond tomorrow promises an eternity of mourning, of mounting grief. Wow. This whole piece is just devastatingly sad, and I wish that
I wish it was all just made up to write this poem, but I know that it's laced and knitted together with your own personal experiences, and that's what makes it even more emotional. Terrific piece. You really, really outdo yourself each time. This is really quite beautiful.
Thank you, Lady.
You're welcome.
And Hatter's back in the studio. Hey, Hatter.
I saw.
Hey,
Hatter.
I made it. Hi, guys.
Hi, Hatter.
Yeah. And Pretty Bird, your thoughts on this?
Apparently, Rack, you just everybody did a bit and pieces, and I kind of hate you a little bit, but I kind of love you a whole lot. It's all right. This whole, what does this life mean, or what does life mean to the broken? You know, you can't fix it. There is no actual expectation of anything working like before, but, you know, we hope against hope and fail and add to our own misery, and it's not okay to torture yourself like that. The desolation in this breaks me. It comes out of my skin and lingers for days. So thanks for my question. And, you know, because it's familiar and it's tortured. And the points in here, because, you know, you're quite the voice actor when you read your pieces. And the lines in your piece where there's a little bit of cry in your voice, it just permeates everything. It really, really does. But this verse, more than all the other verses, really just, it's kind of the fight, you know, the lackluster fight, but it's still there, struggling every day to be the best version of myself, just because it's the right thing to do. Now, in all actuality, that best version, you know, could just be, hey, today I got out of bed, woohoo, because you can only do what you can do. But to still try, strive to be more than the day before, or to do something when you feel like nothing, is a testament of character, because it's a lot to do anything when you're weighed down by that kind of pain. So absolutely brilliant.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And Hatter, did you hear this beautiful poem?
I didn't hear.
Okay. Are you ready to read yours?
Okay.
You want somebody else to read it? Are you ready?
I'll try.
Okay. Awesome. We're going to put you on the board now, bud.
Give it to me, baby.
Uh-huh. Gosh darn it with the earworm.
Did everybody get Wandered Nights? Because there's two of them posted. That was the other one was for her bird bank.
Wandered Nights.
Wandered Nights,
yeah,
is
Wandered
up and that picture is glorious.
Okay, cool. Goes like this. Her lover afar kept her blackened wings. His life to give was not his. Feels the sorrow that it brings. Apart they drifted and wandered nights, but only in his dreams. Nightly mares that rips and tears, haunted by her screams. She walked into a cloud of lies, thinking it was he. Hearing whispers she reached for, no reason to not believe. He weeps the tears of all madmen with tragic tales be told. It rains her love from high above and turns his heart too cold. Those times rushed by, slowly dying inside. He whispered in unknown dread. He spoke of the things tied to the strings that hung until he was dead.
Y'all are killing me tonight.
I know.
Jeez Louise.
Oh, my
this
God.
This is an old
this
one.
Is...
Go ahead.
I don't care how old it is. It's freaking awesome. Wow. This is just... Wow.
It's an old one I tweaked. It's an old one I tweaked.
Yeah?
It just fixed it a little bit.
Walking to a cloud of lies. You and Deb were on the same page tonight. I got news for you. Her web of lies, your cloud of lies. Man. Hearing whispers she reached for.
You know what? I would love to hear somebody read it. Did that happen?
Oh, yeah. I'd love to read it.
I will.
Oh. Go ahead, Lady A. Read away.
Okay. Wandered Nights by J. Hatter. Her lover afar kept her blackened wings. His life to give was not his, feels the sorrow that it brings. Apart they drift in wandered nights, but only in his dreams. Nightmares that rips and tears, haunted by her screams. She walked into a cloud of lies, thinking it was he, hearing whispers she reached for no reason to not believe. He weeps the tears of all madmen with tragic tales be told. It rains her love from high above and turns his heart to cold. Those times rushed by, slowly dying inside. He whispered in unknown dread. He spoke of things tied to the strings that hung until he was dead. End poem.
Cool. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Wow. Oh. It's haunting. Whoever reads it. Lady, hey, you read it. What are your thoughts?
Well, I thought it was very dark and sad. I think that this...
Yeah, it was written to the picture.
Yeah,
the picture,
you know, it's like they were in love and they couldn't be together. You know, he was in one world and she in another. And
very good, exactly right.
Yeah, and I thought this verse here. He weeps the tears of all madmen with tragic tales be told. It rains her love from high above and turns his heart too cold. That line, that last line, is quite familiar because, you know, we can, because of past hurts or whatever, turn cold to love. And so this was very poignant as well. He spoke of the things by the strings that hung until he was dead. Wow. Perhaps in the afterlife.
I think there's a tense problem there I got to fix.
Yeah, there's another thing, too, that I kind of stumbled on. Like, where was it?
The nightly mares.
Yeah, the nightly mares.
I want, that's right, Nightly Mares.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, because it looks like if it says Nightly Mares, it's like horses or something. But it meant for the night, each night, the nightmares, Nightly Mares. I've never heard it like before, but that's creative license.
So,
how are you doing?
Gives me an extra syllable.
Okay.
Nightly mares that rips and tears. Man, thank you.
And Pretty Bird, your thoughts, my love.
My thoughts fell out of my face, and I was keeping my crap together just fine. But no, this is killing me in familiarity, in depth, in metaphor, in all of its haunting, blissful sadness, it is killing me, killing me, killing me, killing me, killing me. I do my favorite poems from you. I mean, I love your whimsy, but my favorite poems from you are when you're wistful. They just really are. There's just something that happens that just falls out of the page and just my eyeballs and makes them water. It's just every gosh darn time. And it's like the you know, relationships that are separated for whatever reason are not fun. But if somebody's like, enough is enough, if this is a metaphorical, I can't do this anymore kind of death, then he did it to himself and he can't stand it because of the pain he caused and yada yada, my heart's broken and I've already saved it to my front page and it will make me cry every time I read it. And so now I'm guaranteed depression for the next few days between you two. I'm telling you guys, geez Louise, you're killing me. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
I agree 100%.
Comes and goes. Thank you, guys.
You're welcome. So.
Not done yet.
What is this? I'm not done yet.
You keep on forgetting, Rack.
Rack, I was just going to say, what are your thoughts?
there's an emotional connection to the lie that you capture in this that really sums the whole thing up for me anyway. That one line when you're saying the reasons not to believe, you know, that aspect of when someone, you know, deals with the untruth of, you know, especially it's like you're taking advantage of the person that cares. It's like, well, why wouldn't they want to believe me? So I could say, pretty much say whatever I want, you know, and it's almost like you're daring them to question you when you do that sometimes. There's something insidious about it and I mean, just psychological torture involved in it on either end, I think, that just, you know, really screws up my head. So yeah, this is relatable. I really enjoyed it for that, but that one line, yeah, that really jumps out at me because, you know, I used to think, you know, that the tagline for the X-Files, I want to believe, you know, it's like, you know, that quest to, you know, people feed you shit and you don't want to question it and you know, cynicism and everything else, and, you know, it makes people cold. It does all kinds of crazy things to you. So, you know, if you give in to that, you turn into a completely different person, and it's ugly, and it's almost like, you know, throwing water on a fire because, you know, you're sitting there and you're dancing and you're all happy and everything else, and then, you know, if you brave enough or foolish enough to turn around and question, start questioning things, you're tearing down your own happiness almost. It's really insidious, and yeah, you captured all that in a wonderful way.
Yeah, very good. It was like what Lady A said, they were in love, but they couldn't be together. This is to the picture. He sort of hovered around and made sure she was always okay. She rarely saw him. So when it was the chance, when she walked into a cloud of lies, was the deception to draw her into some kind of danger, thinking it was him. There was no reason to not believe it wasn't him, right? No reason
right.
to not believe
yeah.
it. And, yeah.
And that
actually
makes a lie successful.
Right. And now he regrets, you know. He weeps the tears of all madmen. Thank you.
Mad Hatter.
You're very welcome. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Thank everyone. I am so blessed. Pretty Bird, I cannot thank you a billion times over for covering me this evening. You rocked my world.
Oh.
I am very blessed. Very blessed. What a great lineup of poets we had tonight. Just everybody that brought it. I thank you, everybody, for being so gentle and sweet to me tonight. It's been a bit of a rough one for the last couple of weeks. Unfortunately, it doesn't look like things are going to be much easier over the next couple of months, but we live and breathe, and that's the way it'll be. Let's see. What else is going on? What's going on tomorrow night?
Anybody I don't
know?
Think there's anything on the board for tomorrow night, actually.
I don't see anything on the board Saturday either.
Well, there's something on there, but it's probably hidden in between all of these interesting and fabulous shows around here.
It's Hatter and Wonderland, the Wonderland show with Hatter.
Let's see. Here it is. It is Cats and Dogs.
Cats and dogs
on Saturday night. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Kitty cats, kitty dogs. All right, so that's Saturday. Sunday we are, what are we at? It's Pretty Bird.
Sunday under the bus, and it is darkness. Just bring the creepy ghosts and goblins. Bring whatever darkness suits you. I am good with it. I am all black water and is and in a mood, so freak me out a little bit if you must. Bring it and bring it hard.
I've
got a bunch of rights already. I'm so excited because usually my show doesn't get a whole lot of rights until a couple of days right before, but there's so many on there already. I'm so excited.
So darkness, so dark. All right. And then, of course, we have Deb on Monday. And then 21st is back in tour. What are you doing?
I went foodie. I'm asking for the strange things that people put in their mouths, you know, starting with Elvis and the peanut butter banana.
No. Well,
I know
something
someone's going
to
take it
that one.
Yeah, that could be that could easily switch to a Sunday theme.
A little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, there's so many food stories, and you know, food gets me started. So I figured, what the hell? Let's indulge a little bit. You know, the craziness goes on. In cinema, that they mentioned, I think it was in Silence of the Lambs, one of the dishes that's you know, a little cruel. Forbidden in a couple of countries because of the way that they do it. That there's a bird that they actually drown in brandy or cognac, I think it is actually. It's a delicacy to the point that you're supposed to actually cover your head so that, you know, to hide the fact that you're eating this thing. And it's a tiny little thing and it's like one bite, but anyway, that's just one example. So, but I didn't really mention that one specifically, but you know, I put a couple of links on the bottom to some of the crazy food habits of celebrities
like
and things that you
made from cat poop.
I'm sorry, so like what?
Coffee made from cat poop.
Wow.
It's not the cat poop, it's the beans, and I actually have a poem about that one.
It's digested beans, yeah. You couldn't pay me, I don't care how good that coffee is, nope.
I got to have faith in the FDA and that, you know, it's got to be edible at that point. But, yeah, it's the harvesting process that makes it so expensive. Kopi Luwak. It's a lemur that actually they call it cat poop, but I believe it's actually a lemur that eats it. It's the berries, and they, you know, that tenderizes them. So anyway, that was in the back of my mind. You know, that's not so weird as some of the other stuff. Even the durian fruit from the Philippines, I believe it is. There's so many people love that thing, but there's
that
actually
the one that smells
if you've
like
ever,
corpses.
Yes, it smells like rotted onions. There's signs on the buses that with the lines through it that you can't even take it on public transportation because it smells so bad, but people still enjoy it. You know, it's one of those crazy things. And then the other thought that was also in the back of my head was the mythical the celebrated haggis from Scotland. If you look up the ingredients and the recipe,
haggis. Oh.
Yes.
Organ meat is probably the healthiest meat you can eat. It is high in all kinds of iron and nutrients that's readily absorbable by your body. I mean, it's taboo-ish because people think it's gross. But if you look in the old school pioneer days recipe books, they ate the whole stinking cow.
Yes, nothing went to waste, even the hooves. Absolutely, absolutely. They made gelatin, I believe.
There are a lot of people that eat everything, use all the animal.
Nothing wrong with
from
not to.
From nose to tail. Or in the pig's case, they would say everything but the oink.
It's the gore.
Funny.
And if you've ever seen them cook a pig's ear, you can actually see the damn earwax.
Well,
the
thing with pig's ears is you don't usually get the whole cavern. You just get the triangle on the outside. It kind of looks like those the ears you get for the rawhide for your dogs, only they're floppy.
Yep.
There is a thin layer of cartilage in there. You have to boil it for like 16 hours. But if you know how to cook this stuff and what you're cooking it in, it is. I kind of like it. I just don't have the patience to cook it all day.
That's the thought that was also in the back of my head. You know, some of these things, they sound
God
so disgusting. So many people embrace it. You know, there's got to be something to it, you know?
Well, it's like tripe. It's an acquired texture.
Yeah.
Cow tongue?
When my aunt would sell a steer.
Your aunt would sell a steer?
Well, no, when they would sell a steer, sometimes it was to the Laotians or Cambodians from Stockton area down in the valley. And they would come up and slaughter it there in the pen. And every bit, they would draw a lottery for the head and the tail and the things that were only one of. Otherwise, they would cut it up and made it in piles.
But yeah, I'm not a big fan of E. coli, but a natural casing sausage is really quite different than the gelatin casing or whatever casing that they use now.
Right.
I mean, I don't trust anybody to wash the crap out of somebody's intestines or a cow's intestines, but it is crunchy, it is flavorful, it is texturally fabulous. It's a big difference. And you know, it's gotta be super
clean. It's a whole
nother
world.
And I just don't trust people, and I'm not one to do it myself because ew.
But I mean, culturally, there's crazy things that don't even involve the casings. I don't know if you've ever seen them in China with the monkeys.
The what? The monkeys? Oh,
the monkey.
Don't even. Oh, the worst part of faces of death.
Oh my God.
Oh,
yeah.
Can we, okay. Well, now it's time to say goodbye to all my company.
Yes.
I look very much forward to your show on Tuesday night, the 20th or the 21st. What day is that, Rack? Because nobody wants to miss the monkey face eating show. That will be very much. Sounds like fun. There's so many things I won't put in my mouth, but there are odd things that I will because I'm from the South.
boiled watermelon rind, right?
No,
I have a gross story about
no.
gizzards. That I love gizzards, but I have a gross story.
Oh, good. Well,
chicken,
okay, that's
chicken
for me, though.
That sounds good. Remind me to tell you the story on Tuesday when we're talking about food.
I will definitely remind you.
Tell me now.
I've got 2 minutes. No, I've got 2 minutes. We're going to end this show on time. thank you, everybody, for coming. I enjoyed it. You guys rock. As always, we will see you next week with anagrams that everybody else had aneurysms about, but I got it fixed. Well, a couple people I know had aneurysms about it. I'm glad I got that worked out for everybody. Please come back. Love you all, and adios. Good night. But I'm not in control of that. Only one woman is, and her name is Priest.
Thank you, Sweetens and Blocks with Radio.
Good night, everyone.
So she can take us out with anything she wants, or just say good night.
I'll just say
good night.
Night. Bye.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, Alice.